This is the Living Clarity Podcast. I'm Coach Radner.
This is Lori Flatman. Troy, it's great to see you today.
Thank you for giving this opportunity.
Yeah, I want to get a message out to the world, a positive message. We're going through a very tough time here in Israel and the Jews throughout the world. And I want to send a positive message. I want to do what I can to make the world a better place. That's all I can do, right?
Everybody has to listen to what's going on in the world and in world history and have to respond based on their talent, their unique talents and skills, and the fact that you're using this, your platform, to inspire and to inform is very, very important.
So I want to discuss with you too. It's very important. I want to know what the deeper message is here. That's, you know, like, this is a major tragedy. And there's God, for everything that happens in the world, God sending us a message. What is God trying to tell us by sending us this tragedy?
Nobody can say, this is why this happened. This is why God made this happen.
No, of course not. But we have a speculation.
And I'm here to tell you that God did not make it happen. God did not create man to be evil. God created man with total potential for good and gave us a gift. And what is that gift? Free will.
Yeah.
Free will is not chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. I'll choose chocolate. That's choice or license. Free will is making a moral decision. Good versus evil.
So you're saying free will is only based on moral decisions and not non-moral decisions.
Free will is making moral decisions, right from wrong. Right from wrong. Whenever you have to, life is choice. You made 1,000 choices today.
Of course.
Should I get up? Should I sleep in? Should I bear this, do this, be with this person? Like, you made 1,000 choices. You could have chosen to pack up your family and leave Israel. And people have. I'm not here to judge people's choices. That was their choice. You have to make, life is choice. God says, I put choices before you. Choose life. Choosing life does not just mean choose to breathe. Choose life. Choose awareness. Choose to strive. Choose to accomplish. Choose life. The Germans in World War II chose evil. Hamas was founded upon evil.
Their charter says destruction of the state of Israel.
And I want you to know that the soldiers are not just fighting for the state of Israel.
They're fighting for not just Jews around the world. They're fighting for humanity, morality.
So it's not just the state of Israel. This is not country versus country. They don't just want to wipe out the state of Israel. They want to wipe out the Jewish people. There's a difference between anti-Semitism and this evil. Anti-Semitism is they don't like you, they hate you, they're not going to hire you, they don't want their kid to marry you. There's a difference between that and I want to annihilate you.
You know, we just had in the Torah portion of the past week, the word Hamas means, you know what Hamas means? It's used in two different lands.
It's not this past week. It's this week. This week in Parshat Noah, it talks about Hamas, about violence, about this.
And robbery.
In this week's Parsha. Okay. So nobody can say, this is why God did this. First of all, people ask, where was God in the Holocaust? Where was man? Where was humanity? The Almighty is going to help us to make sure that good is triumphant over evil. That's going to happen. It's unbelievable unity, achdut v'lo achidut right now amongst the Jews of the world. Achdut v'lo achidut means unity without uniformity. In your family and in my family, we don't all agree politically, religiously, that we don't all share the same values, but we're a family.
Yeah.
And we have each other's back.
And we love each other.
Somebody called me out from Toronto and said, Lori, there are no more Reform, Conservative, or Orthodox Jews in Toronto. We're all Jews. We're only Jews. We're only Jews. We're a family, a highly dysfunctional family, but a family. That's what's going on in Israel right now. People are putting left and right aside. People are putting religious and non-religious aside. We're a family. There's an existential threat, not only to this country, but to the Jewish people around the world, and you're right, and all of humanity, because this is evil, and evil must fall.
Yeah. the mosque leader came out and he said, this is not just a war on the Jews, it's also the world, a war on the Western world.
This is not country versus country or government versus government. This is good versus evil, and people should understand that.
Right.
It's hard for us, especially the Jewish people, to accept that there's evil in the world.
I know.
It's very hard, but there is.
What did you say? A liberal is someone who just hasn't gotten mugged yet? I mean, Sarah is a liberal who hasn't gotten mugged yet.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
At all. I don't want to go liberal conservative. There's nothing to do with that. It's hard for us. It's not about being liberal. It's like we know that we're here for a purpose. And we're here. The Jewish people are supposed to be a light unto the nation.
Correct.
And if there's darkness in the world, and that's what evil brings, that means that we're not doing our job, but we have the potential to do our job. One candle, one flame can light up a whole world of darkness. That's all it takes. So all of us, what is our response? We have to respond on all fronts. Practically, physically, spiritually. You have to look, and every person has to look within themselves. What are the unique gifts, talents, and skills that the Almighty has given me? Resources, connections, and take all of that and channel it into this situation now. Just like you are taking your voice, your broadcast, your podcast, and interviewing people and putting out messages, because you know this is unique. You have a unique gift, and this is what you're going to use it for good. So each and every one of us out there has to look within ourselves. What can I do? So let's go spiritually and practically. Spiritually. It says prayer is an expression of the heart. If it didn't come from your heart, you didn't pray. You may have gone into your house of worship, stood up when you're supposed to stand up, sit down when you're supposed to sit down. And sometimes when I was growing up, my goal was not to be sitting when they're standing, not to be standing when they're standing.
Make sure you're saying the right word.
But that's Simon Says.
Yeah.
The congregation will now be
working today.
Prayer is an expression of the heart. Call it out from the depths of your heart and soul. In your own language, in your own words, what could possibly be greater than words from the heart? Words from a broken heart. What's going on? Our hearts are broken. And that means our prayers are the most powerful prayers of our lives. Of our lives. So call that. But also, be courageous. Your voice should be lifting to heaven, but your voice should also lift out. You need to call up and call out to the world and be proud, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, to stand for Israel, because you're standing for good versus evil. The atrocities are beyond. I was there yesterday. I went down to the borders to bring food and supplies and pictures from children from America to the soldiers. And maybe you can clip it in here, like the handing down, going to them. The food and supplies, they were so grateful. But when I handed them a colorful picture of a child from America that thousands of people have scanned and sent to me, I'm calling it Hunts for Heroes. And when I handed that to them, they lit up. Their smiles were unbelievable, because they said, if the people are with us, we can do this. They said, we know it's going to be from heaven. They told us that. They said, like, most of the soldiers I met yesterday were not religious. And it's not just that there's no atheists in a bomb's hole. They know. They said it's going to be from the people and from heaven. And that's how we're going to win. And they are pumped. Their spirit is high. And I say high means life. That's what they like. It's like the spirit is high.
Yeah.
And I said to them, and this has been the battle cry since the beginning, is Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish nation lives. Am Yisrael Chai. And their spirit is high. It really is. And part of Am Yisrael Chai, and what I'm going to say also, is we can't be sitting ship, but we can't be depressed and mourning right now. We have to act. And I want to share how important it is that life does go on. There are, and maybe you can clip it in, there are people getting married on army bases. And they're singing and they're dancing on the army base. It is so, is that appropriate now? That is the greatest thing we can do. Is that Am Yisrael Chai, the Jewish people are going to go on and they're going to live. Happiness is taking pleasure in what you have. It's counting your blessings. Taking pleasure. Don't forget during these times to take pleasure. Our rabbi, Rabbi Noah Weinberg of blessed memory, taught us that pleasure is the fuel to get through the pain.
Yes, it is.
If you don't take a lot of pleasure in life, it means counting your blessings. Look around, no matter what is going on, there is so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for. Simcha, joy. This is the digi, happiness and joy. Joy, simcha, is knowing that there's going to be future happiness. It's very future-oriented. Because when do the Jewish people use the word simcha, simcha? When there is a brit milah, a bris, when there's a bar bat mitzvah, I'm going to a simcha, when there's a wedding. So the joy that you feel at a wedding, or at a bar bat mitzvah, or at the brit milah, it's not the moment. It's not, wow, great food. Oh, wow, this is...
Wow, they dated for 9 months to getting married. Big deal.
Great music. It's not the moment. It's the potential of this moment.
Yeah.
It's not the moment now. It's the potential of this incredible life event. A brit milah, it means like this child is coming into the covenant. They're being part of the Jewish people. A bar bat mitzvah, no, I'm responsible for the mitzvot. I have a responsible Jew, and what am I going to do with that? A wedding? The potential of this couple and the family that they're going to build to be part of the Jewish people, what could come from this couple?
And a joy.
That's what simchat is. Our rabbi taught us, even in your greatest pain, even when you're in mourning, you're sitting shiva, you're in mourning for a loss of a loved one, he says you have to have one track still on simcha. There will be future happiness. Life will go on. And he said, if the Jewish people, thinking of 3,600 years of history, had not always had one track on simcha, we would have given up
a
long time ago.
Because if you can't keep your eye on the pleasure, you can't handle the pain. You know, quick, that's the way to work. Life works, anything you do in life. Business, marriage, kids, whatever you're doing, if you can't keep your eye on the pleasure, you're not going to be able to handle the pain. And it's the only way you get through situations like this, like I do now, is I have to keep my eye on the pleasure. And, you know, it's funny, I'm in the middle of writing a book on low self-esteem and actually using some of my concepts I'm writing about to help me get through this. I've been struggling. I've only been in Israel 4 years. I'm not Israeli. I don't speak the language. So it's been hard for me to be, it's been hard for me. And I actually have everyone in my family, it's been the hardest for me. But I've been using my, you know, doing this right now as part of my cure. You know, filming positive messages.
Doctor, heal thyself.
Yeah, dying of good messages, exercise. I ran 3.5 miles today. I'm making yummy dinners every single night. I brought a bag of some food. I'm bringing it home to bake some, chew some artichokes and pasta tonight. You know, like I'm trying to do something.
I'd like to come.
Yeah, yeah. You're more than welcome to.
Thank you.
I like my cook.
Yeah,
the food.
Amazing.
So you talked about the, spirituality part of it. What about the practical part of it? Now, I know going down to the army yesterday and passing out.
There are so many organizations doing so much good.
Yeah.
First of all, I have never, ever been more proud to be a Jew in my entire life. And what you're saying and what you're sharing with me, the test of amunah, faith, the test of bitapon, of trust, the test of standing for Israel and being a Zionist is not when everything's going great.
Yes.
It's now.
Yeah.
It's now.
Yeah.
The Almighty wants to know, do you really believe it?
Yeah.
How much do you want it?
Right.
And what are you willing to do for it?
Yeah.
Our rabbi also taught us, when you know what you're willing to die for, now you know what you're willing to live for. So he would ask a CEO of a corporation, would you give your life for your company? No.
No.
Would you give your life for your kids? Of course. Oh, you wouldn't die for your company, but you seem to be living for your company. You would give your life for your children. How much time do you spend with your children?
Sure.
You're willing to die for Israel? Live for Israel. You're willing to die for the Jewish people? Live for the Jewish people. All of us have to ask ourselves, what would I be willing to give my life for?
And nobody wants to die.
No.
That's not what this is about, though. No. This is not about being a martyr.
My brother, at the height of the Second Intifada, when things were very bad here and buses were being blown.
2001.
He made Aliyah. He moved his family to Israel. My mother was beside herself. My mother was like, I'm on the phone with my mother. How can he do this? And he's putting them in danger. And I said to my mother, and I meant it, and I mean it now. God already knows when it's our time.
Yeah.
All right, you're not fooling God.
Yeah.
My brother, Randy, who I love very much, could die when it's his time.
Yeah.
Hit by a bus, a TTC bus in Toronto, and his death is meaningless. Or he can die as a Jew in Israel, and his death has meaning. I hope and pray that I live in good health, mind, and spirit till 120.
Amen.
But one is my greatest fear, that I'm not living my life and my potential in meaning. And I hope that even my life has meaning, and even my death has meaning. I'm not going anywhere. We were in Toronto when the war broke out. We were there for the holiday of Sukkot. I was living in a big, beautiful mansion that my friend, helped let me use.
Yes.
She was away. I'm not.
Note to people, if you have a big mansion somewhere for Sukkot next year, lower your weight. That.
So why did we go there? My mother's elderly. She's 90. Can I tell you what we have to be kind of our blessings right now and taking pleasure. Normally, my mother's decline and her dementia is a source of pain.
Sure.
Now, it's a blessing. She has no idea the war's going on. She has no idea that her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are Israel right now, and that what is happening.
Good bomb shelters.
If she didn't have dementia, and she was watching the news, you know what she watches? She has this thing that's called Aura. It's a framed, where you can upload, or we all upload from all over the world, pictures of our children.
Yeah.
She just watches it all day long. That's what she does. That's what she watches all day long. She watches the pictures of her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I'm grateful. Usually that's painful for me.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that she's unaware. That is giving me pleasure. It's a blessing right now that she has dementia. So we have to be counting our blessing. We have to be very grateful. And I have to tell you, if I was in, there was no question when the war broke out that I was coming back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy because all the flights were canceled.
Yes.
Unless you were flying El Al.
Thank God for El Al. Can you believe that?
Thank God for El Al.
And they had 60 flights last week.
And this is the only war. I want you to understand that this is historic. No war breaks out in a country, and more people come to that country than leave. People are getting on planes, not just because this is my home and I'm going back. They're coming to serve. They're coming to fight. They're coming to stand with Israel. It is the most unbelievable. People are leaving their families. It is incredible because when your family needs you and your family home needs you. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. It is so inspiring. So when, even my all my kids are gathered with us in Toronto for the holiday, except for my son who lives in Israel. Why? Because his wife is expecting soon.
Yeah.
So even he said and called up, maybe you shouldn't come back. There's a war. I said, we're coming.
Yeah.
There's no question we're coming. And even my daughters, I have two daughters, we have five kids. Three live in Israel, two live in the States. My daughter's in the States, and maybe you shouldn't go back. I said, we're coming. There was no question that if I was, and I think your wife would feel the same way. If I was stuck in America right now, I couldn't get back to Israel. If I couldn't get a flight and it wasn't easy, I'd be building a boat.
Yeah.
This, I have asked myself 1,001 times, deep inside my heart and soul, and I never shared this with anybody since I was 10 years old. What would I have done in the Holocaust when I was finally aware of reading books and I became obsessed with it? And what would I have done? Would I be a naive, good, polite Canadian? And they said, okay, pack up your goods and we're going to send you to a place and it's a work camp and work will set you free and believe them. Would I have jumped off the trains? Would I have bombed the train tracks? Would I have fought with the partisans in the woods? Would I have hidden? What would I have done? I think about it almost every day of my life.
You know, I think about if I woke up living in Gaza and I'm a child of a Hamas terrorist, how would I have looked at the world? Like, would I believe what my father believed? Could I think he should be? Or would I finally get clarity in my late teens, early 20s, and look at the world and you know, go online and read things, understand, would I make proper discussions? I know there are some who are from terrorist families, and they've come out and spoken against them.
Listen, very few people can be Abraham Avinu, to stand up against his own society.
Right.
We are a product of our society,
yeah.
But we have to be thinkers. And even within this world that I'm telling you that I live, sometimes I'm an outlier in the way I think.
Right.
Okay, but everybody has to think, and everybody has to choose life, choose to think, choose to question, choose to strive, choose to have the courage. Just because everybody's saying one thing, maybe that's not
true. I know.
But that takes courage to rise up against and to be a thinker. It's not easy, and sometimes it's lonely.
Yeah.
And the Jewish people are set apart in that way. But we have a mission in this world. You know, when I tell my kids, like when you're being hired for a job, all my kids are young adults, and they're applying for jobs and getting jobs and switching jobs. And I always tell them, no matter what job you get, don't ever take a job without a job description. Because if you take a job without a job description, at the end of the year, like it's our annual review, and they're like, you know what? You just didn't cut it. Like, we're going to have to let you go. You're like, what are you talking about? I did this, 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 and this. They go, yes, but we hired you for that, that, and that.
Yeah.
So if you have a job description, that means you know what your job is. You can be assessed. Are you doing your job? You have a mutual definition of what we're supposed to be doing here. The Jewish people were given a job description at Mount Sinai or Megillah. Light unto the nations. We're supposed to be a moral beacon to the world. But some of us don't know that we have a job description, that we think that we're here to make bagels or to make people laugh.
That's better.
But we do need bagels and we do need comedians, but we're supposed to be an example to the world. And if the world is dark and the world is evil, and if the world is choosing evil and standing with evil, that means we're not doing our job.
Yep. You know, my wife has a new class she teaches. It's called, I don't know what the exact title, it has to do with M&Ms. You know, M&M candy, especially peanut M&Ms. And it's based on morality and monotheism. Morality and monotheism. This is what Jews brought to the world.
Yeah.
The M&Ms.
So we were charged with a mission, and we have to fulfill it. And this is our test. This is the test of our time. So again, to bring light into this world, to bring good into this world, into what you see as evil, everybody has to decide what to do. I was there yesterday on the front lines, really 4 kilometers from Gaza, and there are young men and women, and mostly young men with big guns, and who are just the unbelievable spirit and the conviction of this just war is so palpable, so incredible. So support them. Support organizations that support them. Send me pictures of your children. Get your children to write, to make a picture. And again, we'll put it up like examples. It lights up their world to see that children outside of Israel, children of the world, are there for them, that they're praying for them, that they love them. It is so beautiful to see. But there are so many different, maybe you can post.
Where can they send the pictures to?
So right now, I'm telling people to email. No. And I want to be inundated. Yeah. Just send it to my email.
Which is?
But I'm not going to tell you my email. Why? Because I have unbelievable trollers and haters.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time like reporting people and blocking people. It's unbelievable what people are saying. And I'm not going to say where it's coming from, but you can imagine where it's coming from. So I can't just put my email out there because it's that you can imagine what could happen. So
you can send it to the Living in Clarity Podcast at gmail.com.
Ah,
that is it. The Living in Clarity Podcast at gmail.com. And I'll take it forward. And I'll send you the Lori's email.
So what you do is get your kids to make pictures and
or send me the pictures actually, and I'll forward to them.
Yeah. Send the pictures and scan it and send it to Daniel and he'll send it to me and I'm gonna make sure that the soldiers get them. Somebody sent me one in Spanish. I'm going to make sure the soldiers who speak Spanish, because the Jews have come from the four corners of the world here. So they're Russian speaking and Spanish speaking and Portuguese speaking And of
course, Ethiopia, everybody.
Incredible, incredible. And it's so, and they're one. It's the most beautiful thing, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. It's just incredible, incredible, incredible. And there are many organizations, and maybe I can give Daniel like examples who are doing incredible work.
Thank Israeli Soldiers.
Israeli Soldiers, United Hatzalah, yeah. FIDF.
Friend of the IDF.
Yeah, who are supporting the soldiers in a real way and who are on the front lines. There's many organizations that are doing great work. Be careful not to give to people. Like, don't get scammed or anything. And you can contact Daniel, and I'll give Daniel other examples, and he can send them to you. And send me the pictures. And Momentum, I'm the founding director of Momentum, an organization that has brought tens of thousands of Jewish mothers and also fathers from all over the world, from 36 different countries to Israel over the years. So we are mobilizing them. They are on fire. They're on fire. We didn't have to tell them what to do. They immediately, because they loved Israel, and that's what I want to end with. Rabbi Dessler says in his work, Strive for Truth, he asks the philosophical question, does loving lead to giving or does giving lead to loving? I love you, so I give to you, or the more I get to you, the more I love you. And the Jewish answer is, the more I give, the more I love. That's why babies are born helpless. So you're giving.
Happy to have no choice but to give.
No, so giving leads to loving. So what's going on now? People are giving to each other, supporting each other, and people are giving to Israel. So I tell that we're supposed to have thousands of participants this fall coming to Israel under Momentum. And we're talking about doing a solidarity trip or a unity trip, and so stay tuned. But what am I saying to the thousands of participants? When you come, when this is over, God willing, probably at the beginning in our trips in 2024, these are going to be the greatest trips that we have ever had. Why? Because you have spent the time giving to each other and giving to Israel. So you're going to be the most loving cohort, and you've already fallen in love with this land. It's going to be the most powerful time because we're going to come and we will rebuild. Israel.
Lori, just amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching the Living in Clarity podcast. I'm Coach Radner. This is Lori Palatnik. See you next time.